Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's my concern with a strategy I think the Mets have right now with building this rotation. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. Joel Sherman reported that he's hearing they're not really going to be active on the top of the starting pitching market, which is Corbin Burns, Max Fried, guys of that nature. While I understand the strategy of, hey, let's go short term, let's not be committed on long-term contracts. We see how pitchers can break down. We see how, you know, that contract can age horribly, especially with the Tommy John surgery. And we're confident in our ability to fix guys. We're confident in our pitching lab. We're confident in Jeremy Hefner. So let's do what we did last year, get guys on short-term deals, and that'll be our strategy. While I get it and I like it to a degree, when there's an ace available, I want to go get them. Because I don't think it's healthy, especially if you're trying to compete every year, to basically have your rotation rely on lottery tickets.
Right, on one-year deals that you hope find their path again.
Right.
That's what it was with Seve last year. It's what it's going to be with Montas, just like it was with Manaea, who now has priced himself out of staying with the Mets, most likely, depending on whether or not they get Juan Soto or Pete Alonso or any of those other free agents that they're trying to get to right now. But it gives you no long-term plan. All short-term planning,
you know,
which is fine if it works.
It's
but if
not,
it blows up in your face, you're dead in the water.
So my concern isn't even the long-term nature of it, because I get the idea of, hey, we'll be smart every year or two,
yeah,
but we're not committed long-term. Here's my concern.
But you're doing it again.
Right, but they are, and apparently they're going to do it for a very long time, because if you don't buy at the top of this starting pitching market, you're not buying at the top of any starting pitching free agent market, because if you look ahead to next year and the year after that, there are no aces.
Right.
There are no guys that you'd be willing to buy 5-6 years on.
And you already lost one.
Right. My concern isn't 3 years from now. My concern is this year. If the Mets are going to have high expectations this season, and they are, no matter what they do, the fan base is going to believe they just got to the NLCS. Are you really comfortable relying on a lot of reclamation projects? And here's the reality of the Met rotation. Kodai Senga didn't pitch last year. There is a major question mark attached to Senga. David Peterson finally had a good half of a season.
Yeah.
But that's all he's done. So there were still questions about David Peterson. Frankie Montas, reclamation project number one. Even if you re-sign it on Sean Manaea, are we fully believing that the change in Sean Manaea's arm angle has fixed everything? So you are still going to go into a season with a lot of question marks.
Yeah.
And that's why when I saw a guy like Corbin Burns available in free agency, despite some of the red flags about him, his strikeout numbers going down, all that, velocity down a little bit, he still represented one of the rare aces that I would be willing to take that risk on, just so my rotation at least has one certainty,
yeah,
as opposed to five big questions.
I wonder how confident this organization is in the Brandon Sprouts of Blade Tidwells. Those guys are slotted to be up next year.
They could be. As Brandon Sprout, definitely. I think by June, July, yeah.
Right. So if do you go short term because you trust that, again, your pitching lab, the development of these young players is actually ahead of schedule. That's the only thing.
I'm good with doing that because you do need to develop young pitching, so you're not just buying guys every year. But in a year that's going to have high expectations, the Mets may not have any certainties in their rotation. Mm. And that's one of the arguments I've made over the last few weeks on why I did want to be aggressive on Corbin Burnes. And also looking ahead, there are not aces in free agency over the next 3 years.
Yeah,
and there aren't many aces in baseball to begin
with. So you need to have these young pitchers work out.
You do, but I would also want them to work out while bringing in at least one horse that I feel confident about as opposed to four reclamation projects. I get the reclamation projects. And to be fair about David Stearns, he did great with Chalmania. He did great with Luis Severino. There was another guy that no one talks about. It's like we all just make believe it didn't happen. There was someone else in the rotation on a one-year deal. But he got DFA'd before July 1st. His name was Adrian Hauser.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't hit on all of them. And I'm not ripping David Stearns. The reality is, you're not going to bat 1,000.
But isn't that the reason that you do it that way? That you go take shots on three guys?
Because of course.
One of them doesn't work out and two do, or one and a half work out, depending on half the season that you're talking about.
Right.
It almost, you're not hurting yourself.
No, but you better hit on a few. If the Mets, despite signing Soto, Alonso, and whoever they had, if they're going to win next year, they need to at least have an average pitching staff.
Yeah, it's hard for me to get bent out of shape about it, though, because until it doesn't work, you just have to assume that he has the acumen to find the right guys, identify the right guys.
Do I sound like I'm bent out of
shape? No, not at all.
I'm just expressing a baseball concern.
You just sound like you want certainty. You just sound like you want a rotation that feels like a World Series starting rotation.
Not even.
And right now, you don't have any. I mean, I think Kodai Senga is going to be fine.
I think so too, but he missed an entire season.
Exactly right.
I just disagree with the strategy that some of my fellow Met fans have, and maybe David Stearns has, depending on if you believe Joel Sherman's reporting, of not going after the top of this market. Because I thought the top of this market was at least worth buying one of those aces and saying, all right, I got my one long-term contract making a lot of money, and I'll build the rest of it through the youth and through projects.
You could still get there.
What do you mean?
It's still good, one of those guys.
They could. Oh, no, I'm not ruling it out. I'm just saying I'm expressing this is why I want to go after one of those guys. I don't want to rely on five question marks going into next year, especially if they're going to have a big offseason with their offense and sign Juan Soto and bring back Pete Alonso and have this great lineup. I wouldn't want to ruin it by a pitching staff where everything doesn't break right.
Yeah.
Let's go to Joe in Chatham, New Jersey. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing great. How are you guys? I answered that. You guys are doing great.
Nice.
I have something in the spirit of the holidays to bring you all together.
Yeah, all right, let's hear it.
We didn't want to see the pitcher hit because it was the worst hitter on the team. Waste of time. Why don't we go to let each team pick their 8 best hitters, or maybe their 7 best hitters? That way we see the 7 or 8 best hitters. We don't want to see the worst player on the team. Besides, let the guy earn it. Now, if you want to turn that into incentive to keep the starting pitcher on, you could flex it that way. Starting pitcher stays 5 innings, then the manager gets to drop his worst hitter from the lineup or something like that. But this is more star power, more the people we want to see.
It's like Little League.
You know what I hated about Joe?
Like Little League managers or like T-ball dads. They bat guys out of order just because they want to win a T-ball game. That's what that sounds like.
Well,
I know he's being facetious, but he's right.
I actually didn't hear anything he said, and I'll tell you what.
He was joking about it. He was being absurd.
Yeah,
of course.
Oh, I didn't hear it. I'll tell you why I didn't hear it. It's a very, very true point. I'd love to think of the thing that this would work on you. Is there something so deeply offensive to you that if someone brought up and just throwaway line that it would piss you off so much that you wouldn't hear the rest of the conversation? It could be sports related, it could be world related, anything related. Where someone said something like, you it's not about you because you don't take yourself too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Right.
And please, when I say this, don't go down a rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
So, just want to start off by saying aliens exist. I met one yesterday.
Oh, God, stop.
And then jumps into a point about the Giants. And you're like,
about it.
I'm not listening to that giant point because I'm so disgusted by the first thing he said.
You never saw an alien. You never will.
I was just... Okay.
There it goes.
When that caller said...
I think there are aliens hiding under the moon, Europa.
Made a mistake. I'm sorry.
Io.
When that
Jovian moons...
When that caller said, no one wanted to see the pitcher hit, he lost me. Because I love seeing the pitcher hit. So the rest of that conversation, I heard absolutely nothing.
Well, I listened to him. He was being cynical.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much for the call, then. I appreciate it. I'll listen. You know what?
I'll re-listen to it on the Odyssey app as I'm driving home.
Yes.
I don't need to hear Loogie tonight, that's for sure.
The next break, you can just rewind.
Oh, during the break?
Yeah, you can rewind.
I could do that. You know what? Forget it. I will listen to you, Loogie, tonight. I'm going to rewind during the next commercial break. But that next commercial break's coming in a while, so you got time. John is in Philadelphia. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Great show. And just wanted to say, I think there's a section of Juan Soto or a piece of Juan Soto's contract that we might be overlooking. I don't think it's necessarily just about the length of the contract or how much per year. But I think that the opt-out, he's 26. Chances are he's probably going to have an opt-out in the next probably 2 or 3 years before he's even 30. So he's going to be able to reset the market again.
Yeah.
And I think for teams like Toronto, who reportedly, who knows if they're accurate, teams like that might go all in and say, hey, we'll give you a front-loaded contract with an opt-out after 2 or 3 years, and then you can test the market again. And then that way they can try to re-sign Vlad Guerrero. And I think there's teams, Dodgers could do this.
But you know what's crazy about that, John? Why wouldn't every team do that?
Yeah.
Like, if you want Juan Soto, and I've always talked about this, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that the opt-out can be good for the team as well, front-load it, have him opt out after 3 years, and then you get to reevaluate the situation in 3 years. You get the best of Juan Soto at age 26, 27, and 28, and then, yes, he gets to re-go back into the market and maybe get an even crazier contract. I'm not anti-opt-out. If I'm the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox, whoever, I'd offer him that.
I mean, look, you got to do whatever you have to do if you're one of these organizations to sign Juan Soto. So that's putting in the opt-outs, which obviously we haven't talked about, but as he just brought up, the last caller, are likely to be a part of it. Guaranteed money, like signing bonus money. Whatever you have to do to get Juan Soto, you do.
I agree.
The question that we don't know, and you brought this up earlier, Evan, and you're absolutely right, is what's also important. It's obviously the money,
mm-hmm.
but what is also important?
Right.
Like, you keep hearing the Blue Jays have this big number, but does he really want to play north of the border?
Maybe he wants to be Mr. Canada.
Maybe he does.
Maybe he didn't like the election results, and he's threatening to leave the country, too. None of us know.
I'm going to become a citizen of Canada.
I have no idea. Maybe he wants to be in Boston because he's like, yes, I loved Pedro Martinez as a kid. Maybe he wants to be a Met because he's hearing the rumors, too.
Maybe he wants to be a Dodger because he wants to win championship after championship.
Maybe.
After championship.
Maybe. But maybe he wants to be a Met because he heard the same rumor I heard, which I'd love to confirm for everybody, but I'm not at liberty to do so. But David Wright is going to get his number retired this year, isn't he?
So what does that have to do with Juan Soto?
Maybe Juan Soto loved David Wright. Oh. Maybe as a young kid in the DR, he loved watching D. Wright from Virginia.
That's right.
Maybe Juan Soto wants to be at Citi Field
not UGA.
July 18th to see David Wright get his number retired, according to many, many rumors that I happen to believe. Because I think it's true, and I'm pretty damn confident it's true. Maybe that's why Juan Soto's going to join the Mets.
Well, maybe Juan Soto realized if he signs with the Mets, he could be completely mediocre and beloved by fans and then get his number retired, too.
How dare you? Jeez. How dare you? Did you really just say that?
I said it.
About David Wright?
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Not a pimple on the ass of Don Mattingly.
I'm going to take this bottle of water, and I apologize if I get you wet.
Okay.
I'm going to squirt him with this water.
Don't you throw that
water. I'm
going to
throw this water.
Don't you throw that
water.
Don't you throw that water. I still got equipment.
Bro, you
put a cap on it. There's expensive equipment in there, and you owe the company.
Oh, now my sink goes ruined. Oh, no.
It's just paper.
Oh, no.
Oh,
maybe you'll learn.
Just pay for your laptop.
I apologize, Tiki. Sorry. I'm going to warn you for the next time. Take my franchise player's name out your mouth. And the next time...
Overrated.
The next time it won't be water, it'll be...
Overrated.
Next time it won't be water, it'll be John Sterling's head from that bobblehead.
All I know is David Wright getting his number retired is the equivalent of hanging a wild card champion banner up.
Oh, shut your mouth, though. What can I do besides water now? Should I throw these baseball cards at you?
You owe Tiki a new laptop for Christmas.
It's all good.
Now who are BT and Sal going to guess?
After their baseball cards. Sorry, BT, but you would understand why. Anyhow, it's Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Please thank God.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com.
Please thank Hoffman for his Eastchester shirt that was here driving my laptop.
Thank you.
Sorry, you got me angry. What do you want from me?
All right. I'm here to tell you after a weekend of football, the five former New York Giants that are pissing me off in new homes because they should be here.
Oh, I like that.
All right. Think of all the Giants that are new homes. Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
Steve Spagnuolo.
Steve.
Think about all
That's
the problems.
A long time ago.
But he think about this. He had two tenures here. Remember, he was not a part of the second Super Bowl team. Came back with Ben McAdoo. He got fired. He hung around. If they only stopped offering him the interim head coach stuff and stopped basically, you're not going to get the head coaching job.
Yep.
He's totally content being a great defensive coordinator. That sucks that he's not the Giants' defensive coordinator.
That's interesting.
Because he's a really good coordinator.
He's probably, this side of Bill Belichick, the greatest defensive coordinator in the history of football. By the way, you're listening to WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Number four.
This is not sexy, but it's true. Kevin Zeitler. The Giants cut him before Joe Shane even got here because he was making too much money. Somehow cutting the one good O-lineman besides Andrew Thomas they had, he's now playing very good guard for the best line in football with the Detroit Lions.
Of course.
That's a good one. I mean, Kevin Zeitler, would be helpful for this team. That's
you
for
think?
Damn sure.
You think? Okay, here we go.
Number three.
It's got to be Xavier McKinney. As we keep talking about, Tiki, how many interceptions do the Giants have from their secondary this year?
That would be none.
None from the secondary.
One from the linebacker.
Yeah, Xavier McKinney's leading the league. It'd be sure nice to have Xavier McKinney here. Remember, the 2022 season when they hit the rut happening after his ATV accident. Got better tears here.
That didn't bother you, though, the whole ATV thing?
Of course it did. Of course it did. But in hindsight, you know what bothers me more?
Not having him.
Watching him for the Green Bay Packers.
And he took credit for his ATV accident.
Yeah.
Well, responsibility.
Yeah.
He was touring. Okay, go on.
Number two.
It's Julian Love. If I really, really thought hard about all these players they lost, it was so like, oh, okay, yeah. Remember, we were okay watching Julian Love leave because the assumption was, they'll just sign McKinney. You can't pay both of them.
Yeah.
To lose McKinney in hindsight, Julian Love, I think, is the leader the Giants are missing in that defensive locker room and in that locker room as a
veteran. That's a great point because he did come across like a leader on that defense he was impactful over the weekend against the Jets.
We used to have him on, just like me and BT. We'd have him on every week. He was awesome.
Yeah. I miss him. And last but not least.
Number one.
Finally going to do it?
Isn't it obvious? The number one former Giant that is pissing me off in a new home that I wish we had. Without further ado. It's Sean Payton. You know, the Giants' timing of hiring a new head coach couldn't have been worse. And I like Dave's, but think about it. Had they maybe, waited a little bit, last year was the year. Sean Payton was finally done. He sat out for a year. The Giants weren't in the coaching carousel. Now imagine they fired Dable this year. They were a year too late. They could have brought Sean Payton home.
Yeah,
look what he's doing with a rookie quarterback.
They had to fire their general manager.
I know the timing.
And bringing in a new general manager with keeping the head coach.
Think about the timing.
That wouldn't have been good,
Sean Payton coming home to be the head coach with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, but then now Joe Shane's got to potentially hire Sean Payton. I don't know if that...
Oh, or you could have gave him full control. I'm just saying... That's the one guy, if he was available this offseason, I'd be like, you know what, I am okay letting
him go. Now, I ask you this because one of the big criticisms that John Mara faced, and he faced it from you, Sean, because again, I do a lot of research for Posted and Toasted,
sure.
Was not being comfortable going outside of the family. You know, Dave Gettleman was a part of that same tree, and, there was this discomfort that some had with John Mara continuing to hire people from the tree. Joe Shane and Brian Dable, no matter what you think about this so far, broke from that habit, broke from that tree.
Yes.
If they had hired Sean Payton, wouldn't it be going back to the same tree?
Yes and no. Yes and no. It would have been in theory. However, Sean Payton is really good. He's not Dave Gettleman.
Well, I think you were talking a tree regarding... General manager.
Yeah, like within, like, this guy worked in these offices, so he's here. Head coaching-wise?
I just assume that if
coaching,
Sean...
they've gone outside of it.
You're right, but I assume that if Sean Payton came here, he was going to do it with control. He wasn't going to come here and work under Joe
Shane. I probably would have been okay with that.
Does he have control in Denver?
I assume he does.
No. Payton is George Payton is the guy.
They have a George Payton and a Sean Payton?
Yeah. it's spelled differently, but George Payton...
Are you sure they're not the same guy, one with a mustache?
But it feels like Sean Payton has made
He's been there for a while.
But doesn't it feel like Sean Payton has made all the key personnel decisions since going to Denver, whether it's Bo Nix or bringing in Russ or getting rid of Russ? Or getting rid of Russ,
No, they gave him control over the quarterback.
Right.
Which...
I mean, that's pretty... That seems like a lot of control.
I mean, it's probably the biggest piece of the puzzle, but they also let go a lot of... Like defensive stalwarts.
There. Yeah.
I mean, what's his name? Justin Simmons?
But it just feels like
they got rid of Jerry Jeudy.
But it feels that even if there is a GM that's been there, it does feel like Sean Payton is running the show in Denver, despite the.
Or at least they're giving him heavy say into it.
Yeah, regardless, that's all I'm saying. I don't know if that would have been the case here.
But what is my point is, I would have been okay with that.
I understand. That's fine. I totally get that.
And look, together.
To Sean Payton's credit, I think that there was a concern or at least a worry of, all right, what is he without Drew Brees? What is he going to do in Denver? And the Russell Wilson thing started off like, all right, it was better than the year previous year, but what happened? Now they're starting over, and they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, the Denver Broncos are on their way to being a shocking playoff team. So Sean Payton, to his credit, has done a hell of a job in Denver.
Yeah, they're 8-5.
Yep. So that's it. And those are the only five guys that piss me off.
You know what? It makes me think. Play this game in your head, Tiki Barber.
Yep.
Sean, play this game because you got a good brain for this. If you take all the former Giants that are right now just around the league, and you just named five of them, obviously you left out Saquon Barkley, but that's just you being you.
No, he just does. He's not pissed off about it.
Okay. I'm not pissed off about it. Just the right way. You don't pay the running.
He may be the MVP of the league, but that's fine. Now take all the former Jets that are around the league. If you took all the former Jets and all the former Giants and you put them together and you made like a Pro Bowl team of former Jets and former Giants, how good is that team?
It's pretty good. I mean, Elijah Moore was great last night.
I know. It's the first guy I thought of.
Right. Sam Darnold.
Geno Smith could back up.
Geno Smith is a backup. Start off with
Saquon
the quarterback.
Saquon Barkley is a running back.
Start off with the quarterback room.
Sam Darnold.
You've got Sam Darnold as your starter.
Yeah.
Over Geno Smith?
Yeah, he's younger.
Okay. We got Daniel Jones.
I love, though, that Tiki's preparing for the future. Darnold's younger than Geno.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
Daniel Jones. I don't even think Daniel Jones. You know what Daniel Jones is? He's my fourth quarterback. He's my practice squad safety. Because you know who my third string quarterback is?
Who?
Guys, forgot about him. Third string quarterback.
Zach Wilson?
I need... Shut your mouth.
Cooper Rush.
Nope. Joe Flacco.
Oh, God. Get Joe Flacco.
I need a Super Bowl ring. Now, you mentioned the running back. We got Saquon Barkley.
I would rather go Davis Webb and have a player coach. He's only 29 years old. He's actually doing a pretty good job. You know where?
Where?
Denver.
Denver. That's right.
Could be the Giants OC.
So we got Saquon Barkley at running back. You know who his backup is? I bet you forgot about this guy. He's in Buffalo. He was the one who coined Mike Bleepin' White. Ty Johnson, former Jet.
It's a good backup back.
Not bad. Who's your tight end? We got a tight end.
Evan Ingram.
Yeah. That's not bad either. Where's CJ Uzomah these days?
He's the Eagles backup.
There you go. All right, so our wide receivers. We've got Elijah Moore at 8 catches for over 100 yards yesterday.
Yep.
Got Sterling Shepard. He's still in the league.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Still reasonable. Mike Williams, as long as he's not looking at Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
He's not bad.
Kadarius Toney was active last night.
No, stop it.
He was bad.
How about OBJ, the little Odell Beckham Jr. action?
He dresses for...
He's a veteran.
Yeah.
Can we get Chosen Anderson out of retirement? Little Robbie Anderson action?
He's retired.
I think so.
Yeah, I think he is.
That's not the greatest wide receiver room, but you know why I'm making up for it?
Ingram and Barkley.
I got Saquon Barkley, and I got Evan Ingram. Imagine if they were teammates. That'd be really dangerous. Now, think about this defense. We got John Franklin Myers.
Quentin Jefferson.
Leonard Williams.
Quentin Jefferson.
We got Quentin Jefferson.
That's a pretty stout dude.
Bro!
Forget Jefferson.
Who's the other edge rusher?
Bryce Huff. We got a little Bryce Huff action.
And you're forgetting.
Lawson's in Dallas. Bring him back. What?
Maybe the best player on the Bengals defense is B.J. Hill.
B.J. Hill. B.J. How about Fadu Kassi? He's now with the Texans.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
You could deal with a little crappy edge of either Jihad Ward or Lorenzo Carter, too.
How about the safeties? We got your guys, Xavier McKinney and Julian Love.
I don't know about corners, though.
Corners suck.
Isaac Yadam.
Yeah. Isaac Yadam? Come on.
Just dump it. Hey, you know what? Nick McLeod.
Ugh.
He's a starter.
Nah, dude, our corners suck, man. We got to get to the quarterback. But here's the best part. Our punter place kicker combination. This is good. The Jets own this. Braden Mann, now of the Philadelphia Eagles, he's punting the crap out of it. And Jason Myers of the Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. Holy, dude, this team's better than the Jets and the Giants.
It's a good team.
You just need the offensive line.
We need it. Well, okay. Well, we've
so
got
corners and offensive line.
Kevin Zeitler at left guard.
Zeitler left guard.
Mekhi Becton at right guard.
Matt Parrott starts at tackle for Denver now.
Parrott.
George Fant, where's he at now?
Seattle again.
Like 60.
You still need old line. And how about
you need a center and you need a right tackle?
I'll tell you, who can play center right now. He's on the Giants, ex-Jet. Greg Van Roten, who took snaps at center all through camp.
We're gonna count him because he's a former Jet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, if we're gonna do that, Jason Pinnock.
That's another safety.
How about that? Dude, this team wins a playoff game. This former Jet Giant team wins like 12 games.
But hold on. You need the coach.
Yeah.
Who's the head coach? We already have the answer.
Who's the coach?
Sean Payton.
That was so long ago.
Or Todd Bowles.
But he wasn't
ever the Giant or Jet head coach.
So it's got to be a head coach?
Yeah. Payton could be your offensive coordinator, but who is it?
The answer is Todd Bowles. You know who the offensive coordinator is if it's not Sean Payton?
Who?
Pat Shurmur. Oh, he's in college. Damn it. I would have gone Shermer at OC and Wink Martindale as DC.
Ben McAdoo. He's consulting somewhere.
He was the offensive coordinator under Tom Coughlin.
And the defensive coordinator, Spags.
Yeah. No, that's right. Steve, we got the best defensive coordinator in the history of football. And Todd Bowles, like, I may not love him, but he's got the team to the playoffs.
True. Every year.
Dude, the former Jet Giant team kicks ass.
They don't have two wins, I'll tell you that.
They're better than the all-star team of our current Jets and Giants. That's incredible. Good job, Sean. That list inspired us to create that roster. Can you type out that roster now and tweet it out there?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it. Hey, he's been working hard lately. Put together all those old tweets of Tommy Lugauer.
Yeah, let me clean up all these baseball cards first.
Well, you angered me. Sean said something mean about David Wright. I threw water at him, and I threw baseball cards at him.
I mean, Sal and BT leave this place a mess, too, so don't worry about it.
Yeah! They don't mind. Right, the cards are there. It's fine.
They throw it all over the place.
We'll come back with your phone calls at 888-808-1019. And what?
The card he threw.
Bill Buckner.
Bill Buckner Red Sox card.
Yeah, well, listen, it happens. We'll come back with your telephone calls. Plus, talk about Steve Spagnuolo. Speaking of Steve Spagnuolo, is he running his own form of bounty gate with the Kansas City Chiefs? Everybody does. What if I told you that's happening right now?
Everybody does it.
Okay. Well, I have evidence that that's occurring. How we doing today? Evan and Tiki on the Fan for another hour. Big night of sports tonight. Got great news. The New York Rangers can't lose tonight. So that's good. Guys aren't playing tonight. What a joke they are. Oh,
let's go,
God.
Devils.
Yeah, your Devils kicked their ass last night. Devils are a hell of a team. Then I got to see Sean fighting with Devil fans saying, we're not rivals. I don't really care about you.
I didn't fight. Did you see me engage with a bunch of Devil fans?
I have sources. And they tell me that that's your argument. You're not rivals with the Devils.
No. Actually, if you read the tweet, which you usually do because you're hip to that, I said, hey, the Devils are kicking our ass right now. Nothing we can do about it. My point is, I had Devil fans going hot, you know, trying to poke me.
Yeah.
And like I've reiterated a million times, the Jersey Ranger fan considers them a rival. The Long Island Ranger fan considers the Islanders the rival. I have nothing to do with the Devils. They're nothing to me.
Yeah, I think they're both rivals, but I can totally understand you disliking the Islanders more. By the way, stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's coming up after us, because Mets Hot Stove is then, and then it's Baseball Night in New York. So I think I have that right. It's Mets Hot Stove, then it's Baseball Night in New York. So a little hot stove action, then Baseball Night in New York. Thank you very much, SNY. We'll see you tomorrow. Yeah, but you can't like the Devils. I mean.
They were really like the Penguins of the Capitals.
No, that's not true.
It is true.
You can totally dislike the Islanders more because you're an Island Ranger fan. I totally get that.
The only Devil fan I deal with is Tiki.
We got Devil fans around here. Jerry Recco, Keith McPherson. We got a lot of Devil fans.
All right.
We got more Devil fans than Islander fans. Who the hell's an Islander fan here besides me?
I'll give Jerry.
And they're fourth on my list, which is unfortunate.
Jerry and Keith have never done the na-na-na-na-poo-poo thing to me with the Devils. My point is the Islander fans, ugh.
I got you.
Gio's an Islander fan.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He is?
Of course. Lugie, Islander fan.
I didn't know Gio was an Islander fan.
Well, you worked with the guy for 10 years.
Yeah, I don't think he was an Islander fan then.
Well, now he's an Islander
fan. Oh, I know what happened. Sal's it totally an makes sense.
Sal.
Yeah, Sal's an Islander fan. Probably working with Boomer made him an Islander fan.
BT, Islander fan.
BT's not an Islander fan.
I think he is.
I actually don't know what hockey team
well,
he's a
Chris McMonagle.
With all due respect, Tiki, we don't trust you on the knowledge of Brandon's sports fans. You didn't know he was a Yankee Jet fan.
For the majority of our show, we did a national show.
I know, I'm
so
sorry.
So when he would bring up the local teams who at the time sucked, it was like, all right, whatever. I'm not even listening. I don't care.
I know.
I don't need to know about the Knicks.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get you defensive about that. That just made me laugh. Let's get to a couple of your phone calls, and then I will expose Steve Spagnuolo that he is actually running a bounty gate ring with the Kansas City Chiefs. But first, Jay is in Miller Place. How are you, Jay?
Good, guys. How are you? Thanks for taking the call today.
Thanks Appreciate for calling. It. What's up, man?
Always listen. I just wanted to talk about Soto for a minute. I just wanted to get your four guys' perspective on, is he going to sign a contract before the end of the year? Just curious.
100%. And we all actually predicted dates about 2 months ago. Tommy predicted right before Thanksgiving. That's an L for him. Tiki predicted middle of November. That's an L for him. And me and Sean are still in play. My predictive date is actually coming up. I had it in about a week. So I'm going to stand by that because I always thought winter meetings and then like right as the winter meetings are ending, that's when he will sign. So I stand by that. For some reason, Sean Morash's prediction, I'm looking at it right now, was December 31st. Why'd you do that? You think New Year's Eve he's signing?
Yes, I do. I think that's going to be the real pig takeover New Year's Eve situation.
Interesting. By the way, my official prediction I have written down is December 10th. So that's exactly 1 week from today. And I warn you, I don't warn you because you don't care. A week from tomorrow, I have to have a medical procedure in which I'm being put under. That's when he's going to sign. I'm going to be out of commission. My wife's going to wake me up after they make sure I'm not dead.
I hope it's not with the Mets then.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, because that would suck.
And my wife wakes me up and says, honey.
It'd be great for me and Sean.
It'd be awesome. It'd be so awesome.
So you're rooting for Soto to sign while I'm not here?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'd be great. You know, go back to the boys. Look at the ratings that day. Evan's not here.
Now you're right. It's totally going to happen that day. But to answer our last caller's question, I think we all are lockstep that this is going to conclude within the next week, week and a half. So, luckily, the incessant Juan Soto talk will end at some point, and we're going to get a decision. Let's go to Josh in Rockland County. How are you, Josh?
Yeah, what's going on, Evan? Great show.
Appreciate it.
What an honor to talk to you.
Appreciate it.
And, Sean, I was a caller who called you Friday about the Joe Burrow trade.
Oh. You remember that call, Sean, or did you doze out on it?
Dozed out.
No, that's not nice.
Joe Burrow trade.
Mm.
Oh, I remember now. Yeah, he thinks Joe Burrow will ask his way out, and that's what the Giants do this offseason.
Oh, I like that. That's creativity right there.
Not reality, but...
No, this is an Evan trade that Joe Burrow will want out. The Giants have the number one overall pick. Joe Burrow goes to the Giants, and the Bengals go with Shedeur Sanders.
I can see it. Mm. I think that's a great idea. Boy, this is I give you a lot of credit,
I mean,
man.
If they were winning, he'd be in the MVP conversation.
I know. They're off. The Bengals are the best worst team I've ever seen.
Right.
They're the best of the worst.
30-something touchdowns, right?
It's having an awesome season, and you're 100%
only
right.
Five interceptions, but they're 4 and whatever?
If their defense wasn't 30th in the league and they weren't sitting there at 4-8, you're right. You're 100% right. All right. I apologize.
You want to throw Kayvon Thibodeau to give them, you know, to go with Trey Hendrickson and all that. I guess it's good at pass rush.
All right. Is that it?
No. I wanted to get to the Yankee point. What do you think about trading for Yandy Diaz? The Yankees need a leadoff hitter. He gets on base a lot. He has power. He can play first and third. Or moving, let's say, you know, bring up Spencer Jones and moving, like, let's say, Soto to first base or Dominguez to first base. What do you think about those two things?
I think Yandy Diaz is, like, a nice, solid, okay addition. He's also not that young. He's 33 years old. And last year, he was not nearly as good as he was a year earlier when he won that batting title. So I'm just assuming that if you look at Yandy Diaz's track record, he's more last year's player than he was 2 years ago's player. And that's a guy who doesn't strike out a lot. He gets on base. He hits about 285. He'll let you 10, 15 home runs. And so he's fine. I think you can do better than that. The guy I'm really intrigued by to be the first baseman for the New York Yankees. And it's funny, the context is so different than a year ago. Because a year ago, I wasn't interested in him. But based on his contract status, it changes things. It's Cody Bellinger. Hmm. He's got 2 years left on his deal. He's got an opt-out. He can play center field or first base. He's good defensively at both positions. He's a left-handed bat.
How long has he signed?
2 years. He's got an opt-out, too.
And he's only 29.
Yeah, and you're not locked in long-term. I think if I can get Cody Bellinger for cheap, that's my total. That's where I'm going. And the reason I was against him last year is because I didn't want to give him a 7-year contract. But now we're talking about a 2-year deal with an opt-out after 1 year.
I mean, interesting.
Give me Cody Bellinger.
You didn't have to give him a 7-year contract, ultimately.
Right.
Maybe if you had signed him early because you really wanted him.
Right.
You would have been stuck with a 7-year contract. But the way that it played out, one of these Boris guys, he signed his 3-year deal with an opt-out.
100%. It turned out to be a very reasonable contract. 100%. But now it makes even more sense because think about it. Anthony Rizzo's gone. He's not coming back. So you have a hole at first base.
Yep.
We're not sure about the outfield yet. I know Sean's very confident Juan Soto's coming back. We do not know. But either way, even if Juan Soto comes back, I think Aaron Judge should not be the center fielder next year. And I don't mean that based on the drop pop-up. I just mean it on maintaining his health. I'd probably move him to left field.
He goes to left?
That's what I would do, yes.
Dominguez should play center.
Yeah, and Jason Dominguez, as long as he earns that, would be my center fielder. I completely agree with
that. I mean, how many starts in left does Judge have?
I think like 2 in his entire career.
It's not a ton.
It's 3 this year.
Yeah, I think literally that's it. But I think it's an easy position for him to adjust to, so I'm not concerned that he's barely played there. I think it's just going to save him physically than having to run out there and play center field every day.
What about the Judge to first base conversation that we wanting to have?
That could line up with Bellinger, though.
It could line up with Cody Bellinger because
2 years.
The beauty of Cody Bellinger is the versatility of playing first base or playing center field. Mm. So if I sign Cody Bellinger and I want to go, not sign, but acquire Cody Bellinger from Chicago.
Right, you'd have to trade for him.
Right, and I don't think I have to give up a lot based on the contract. I could play Bellinger in center and play Aaron Judge at first base if Aaron Judge is not ready to make that move, because there is some bedside manner on a subject like this. Aaron needs to be okay with it. I'm not going to force it on him. Then Aaron Judge could be the left fielder and Cody Bellinger could play first base. That's the beauty of Cody Bellinger, that you've got different options on whether it's playing him in center field or playing at first base. And the reality is he's good defensively at both. So whether they get Soto or not, I think acquiring Cody Bellinger would make a lot of sense, in my opinion. Now, Tiki, are you ready to unleash a scandal on the NFL world?
Let's hear it.
And I know you poo-pooed this when I brought this up and says everyone does Bounty Gate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for years.
Well, I don't know if the commissioner would want to hear this, but if you were listening very closely during the Black Friday game, there was a little sideline report about Steve Spagnuolo and Mrs. Steve Spagnuolo. This is Bounty Gate, ladies and gentlemen. Take a listen.
Her homemade banana pudding is delivered every week to the facility, and she cooks up an entire Italian meal for the player with the best hit in each win. After last Sunday, that was Justin Reed.
She cooks up an entire Italian meal for whoever has the best hit?
What does that
Tell
even
me
mean?
What's different between that and Greg Williams cutting a check.
Money? The fact that it's money?
It's a giant Italian meal.
But it's just, it's not money.
So it's just, okay it's if it's food?
I mean, it just, well, I think that with Bounty Gate, it was because it was undercutting the collective bargaining agreement and the amount of money you can pay guys, this pooled money that they were given to mostly special teams guys. Yeah, I remember back then the minimum salary was tiny.
Right.
It was small. These guys weren't making, I mean, it's now like $700,000. The minimum salary has really gone up, and I think in a couple of years it's going to be $1 million as a minimum salary. But back in that era, it was like $200,000+.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were just making the team as a special teamer and you were going to get an extra, I don't know, $3,000 or $5,000 for making a huge hit, I mean, that was a big money.
So was it the money, or was it that bounties were involved and designed to help players hurt other players?
I don't think it
by
ever
applying
was,
big hits on
I don't
them.
Think it was ever take a guy out. I think it was always make a huge play.
Yeah, well, it sounds like exactly what Steve Spagnuolo's wife is doing.
It just gets, interpreted, you're trying to hurt somebody. I don't think any player is trying to hurt somebody.
No, I agree with you, but unless you're, what's his name, who hurt Trevor Lawrence the other day.
Yeah, Aziz Alshire.
Yeah, who just got suspended 3 games.
Or Vontaze Burfict.
Right, oh, how dirty was he? But isn't the intent the same? We're going to give you something for big hits.
No, just have a big hit. I don't think that's not bounty-ish.
It's Meatball Gate.
It really
is. It's like The Wedding Singer, where the old lady pays Adam Sandler meatballs.
Yes.
It's the same thing. It's incentive.
Yeah.
If Evan had incentives for me and Sean, but it wasn't money, would it be going against like our company policy here? No, but it's still incentivizing me and Sean to do stuff.
Truthfully, it's the same thing as what the Saints did, except instead of money, it's an entire homemade meal. And I'd argue the homemade meal is probably more valuable.
It's ravioli.
Should have named it Balls for Your Balls.
I mean, think about it. You can't really pay for a homemade meal. Like, you can order in, sure, you can go on Grubhub, but a homemade meal from Mrs. Spagnuolo?
I mean,
that's pretty freaking valuable.
How good is the homemade meal? Do we know?
What do you think?
I mean, I'm assuming it's fantastic, but I don't know.
You've never had a
Spags wasn't there when I was there.
The question is, are you allowed to pick which, you know what I mean? She give you a little menu or she just cooks? Because, like, if I got stuck with the eggplant that week, I'd be like, you got chicken parm the week before? That sucks.
hold on a second. If there was somebody.
Beggars cannot be choosers.
Yeah, if there was somebody at the Odyssey family, I don't even know who. Let's say the architect is an amazing cook. In fact, I heard that's true. The architect of WFAN and the beautiful Odyssey is an incredible cook. Mm. He's Italian as well. So you know what that means? He's cooking some mean-ass Italian meals.
Oh, chance. He dumps Prego in a pot.
Well, let's just say he's
chef
a chef.
Chef Boyardee?
He's a real chef. He's like my father-in-law.
He's Chef Boyardee?
He's Chef Boyard Architect. And he announces, you know what? Once a month, I'm going to make a homemade Italian meal for whoever was the best worker here at WFAN. Whoever puts in that extra effort.
Boy, I'd be fat.
And yeah, okay. And he notices the effort Sean put in earlier today when he actually pulled all the old Tommy Lugauer tweets to put him on trial for skipping the podium after Nick losses. And he noticed that and said, you know what? I think Sean's got the edge. And the architect comes in and says, you won the award this month. Last month it was Boomer. The month before that it was Boomer because I have to kiss Boomer's ass. But for this month, I'm going to give it to you. Okay? I'll give it to you.
I like it.
Would you really be, wow, you know, you put a, I don't really want the meatballs. No, well, it depends. You're going to eat whatever he gets
you. Yes,
you should
true.
Have a little, you know, eggplant.
I don't like
it. Veggies.
I do not like eggplant. I don't like it. I'll eat chicken parm. I'll eat chicken french, eh? I'll eat some
veal. And you're going to say
I don't
that
even like really like veal.
I don't, I, by the way, I don't like eggplant. What'd you say, eggplant? I hate eggplant.
Yeah, I do too. What if you put ever? Eggplant in front of me? I'd say thank you very much, but give it to somebody
you
else.
You can't do that. He just made a homemade meal for you.
And he didn't ask what delicious. I like. But he didn't ask what I like.
But it could be delicious.
I've had everybody's eggplant. Let me tell you something. I don't like it. All
so,
right?
Me and my wife have one argument because we always get along. The argument we have is over eggplant because many years ago when
is
we
it?
Were first dating, what was that?
I said, is it?
I don't understand.
Just keep going.
Okay, thank you, because I don't. Sometimes I don't get your references.
Somebody on the Jackie Robinson Parkway left.
Is it about eggplant or me? I'm confused.
Both. Keep going.
Okay.
Just tell her it happens to all guys.
So,
what? Don't worry about it. Just have the conversation later.
All right. So, that one argument is about eggplant, because when we first started dating, we went over one of her friend's houses, and the guy made eggplant dinner. And the eggplant was the worst eggplant I've ever had. I've never even had eggplant ever before. It was my first time. I was losing my eggplant virginity that evening, and I bite into this eggplant.
Well, how do you know it was the worst ever?
Well, whatever was going on in my mouth was horrible.
You didn't like the texture.
It was awful. Now, she could tell, but I ate everything because I was trying to be classy. I'm still dating her. I was trying to make a good impression. I don't know who these guys are. So I'm eating that freaking eggplant. And I shoved it down. I ate that stupid eggplant. The night is over. We get in the car. And she says, boy, you didn't like that eggplant. I said, honey, that was the worst piece of crap I've ever put in my entire mouth. And from then on, I would never have eggplant. Every time she offered it, no eggplant. And she would say, Evan, that was bad eggplant. That doesn't mean eggplant's bad. You should try it somewhere else. And I'm like, hon, it's ruined me. I can never have eggplant ever again. That was the most disgusting, disturbing thing that's ever been placed in my mouth, and there's nothing that can save this. So every time eggplant is mentioned, or eggplant is on a menu, or eggplant's being offered, and I'm like, no gracias, I'm always very nice. She's like, you should try the eggplant. And I'm like, try the eggplant? How couldn't you try the eggplant?
Just for the sake of trying the eggplant?
I can't do it.
So if the architect made you eggplant, you'd eat it? No, you'd give it back.
No, that's not. Listen, you know what I would do?
What?
I would say, thank you very much. I earned this award, and the meal was fantastic. He doesn't have to see me eat the eggplant, but one thing I'm not going to do is go back to him and say, I'm refusing the eggplant.
You're rude.
He just gave me an award for success.
Should've
asked. You have to say thank you like Miss Spagnola does for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Should have asked what I want. Mrs. Spags puts eggplant before my face. I'm spitting out yelling vile weed at her, and I'm never making a hit again.
Why would you ever invite this guy over your house?
No,
he's an
idea.
Animal.
You're not coming over to eat.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure you make a lovely meatball.
I make nothing. Tracy's a good cook.
I'm sure she is.
But if Tracy made something and Sean's response is, that's vile, get it off my plate. I don't know your wife that well, but wouldn't she be like disgusted by Sean?
She'd hate you for life.
Really? Shouldn't you make like the core basics if you're having somebody over and you don't know their palate, you know?
No.
Everybody loves a piece of chicken.
I mean, well, actually, you're
steak.
Right. That's what people should do. But you as the visitor have to show class. You can't be like, get this off my plate.
I'm no class, all ass.
Well, that is very, very true.